Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
Hey, welcome to the Interfaith Roundtable here on your hometown station, WDKN, 1260 AM and 101.5, the 1 FM. And we are here today, and we are going to be in Matthew chapter 6. But before we get to that, I'm going to introduce the men that are with us today.
Hey, I'm Matthew Hyatt from Burns Church of Christ.
And I'm Howard Wingo from Freedom Baptist Church. And I wonder if I could just say a word.
Sure.
We've been doing this now for, what, 2 or 3 years?
I'm not sure. Longer than that.
And I'm not always able to be here, and you know, but I appreciate being able to be here. And I just wanted to thank WDKN and Ken for setting this up for us. And it's a privilege. And I hope there's somebody that listens to what we have to say. None of us claim to be perfect scholars on the Bible or anything.
Just but
it's just, well, yeah, it's just everyday sensible thoughts about how does the Bible apply to me?
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful to the radio station for allowing us to do this.
I appreciate that, Howard. And it definitely is a blessing for us to be able to meet together and know that people are going to hear.
I look forward to this.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And we've gotten some really good comments from listeners. And so we appreciate your comments very much because that's really the only way we know if you're listening.
Right.
So, you know, shoot us a message. Call the station if you're listening during the show. What's that number?
446-4000.
446-4000.
615-446-4000.
So if you're listening Sunday at 4, give Richie a call and say, hey, I'm listening, you dummies.
Yeah. And any questions at any point in time about anything having to do with the Bible, if you call me on Sundays at 446-4000, I'll either help you with the answer or find out the answer or give you any information you need.
Yeah. And if you get a chance to go to our website, JesusRoundtable.com, you can leave us a comment there. If you can leave us a review on iTunes, search for Jesus Roundtable Show, or on Facebook, that really helps because we have some stats about how many people download, but it really helps to know who you are. In fact, we may even look at doing a survey in a little while to find out who our listeners are. Maybe we could even give something away. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, a thought came to mind. There's three of us here today, and there's a couple others who come, and so we try to have at least three for the discussion. But who is listening? And
Thanks, Mom.
Is it folks just like us, you know, that just want to be closer? Or is there somebody out there that really wants to know, really needs to know, and they're listening in? And so I hope, to me, nothing has any lasting value that we do without the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit can transcend the airways, you know, of course. And I pray if there's anybody listening today that maybe does have a problem in any area. And it's so amazing how the Word of God can benefit all the listeners that they all have different problems. But there's something about the Word of God with the Holy Spirit that will take care of the situation. So if you're listening today and you're a little hungry for the Word, boy, please listen to it. What we have.
And, you know, I agree with you, Howard, completely. And one of the things that's cool is I know there's people in just young people who listen in the car that have told me. I've talked to people who listen online from outside of Middle Tennessee. I know of people in the jail who listen on the radio. And I know people who are shut in the nursing home. So we've got listeners in all age brackets. I know of, okay, that's only four listeners now, but I know of those four, you know. And so just spread the word for us. It really helps. Also, I think we can say this. If you're interested in helping to sponsor the show, Kenneth and the station would love that.
Yeah, that will guarantee that we'll be on for a long time if we could do that.
I feel like we're kind of doing the public radio pledge drive thing right
that's
now.
All right. You know? That's all right. It does cost the radio station money to air this.
Yeah.
Of course it does. We don't think about that, but...
And the ministers involved, we're able to give our time for this. The churches we work with allow us to do that, and that's a blessing. And Kenneth provides for the station host and for the equipment and all that sort of stuff. So we're just really, really grateful for your help.
Yep.
And we're thankful that you guys participate, right? Because without you guys, it would be me. And nobody wants to hear me for half an hour. So I'm personally thankful. I'm sure the station is, but I am personally thankful that you guys are so faithful in doing this.
But this is fun. This is a highlight of the week.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
So Where are we at with today's?
We are in Matthew.
Oh, we've got a show to do.
That's right. That's right. We are in Matthew chapter 6. We ended with verse 21, and the verses in between are pretty much, we're going to start today at verse 25, and the lamp of the body, and you cannot serve God in riches, is pretty much a lot of what we just went over last week.
Exactly.
So we're going to kick it off in verse 25. You want to read that, Matthew?
Sure. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot in there.
Yeah. That's very comforting for our everyday existence, because there are times, we were talking last week about median income, and some have more and some have less. But we all need food. We all need clothes. So sometimes we get anxious about this, but we don't have to, because when we're little children, we know mommy and daddy's going to provide what I need. So this is telling us that the Lord loves us more actually than we love our children, and that's a pretty, So he's going to take care of us,
right?
And especially if we're in his house, pleasing him, you know he's going to take care of us. So this is a very powerful passage, very comforting.
I love sometimes the paraphrases of the Bible, just because it's there. You know, if you're going to study, go to a literal version. That's where you need to go. But when you just want to kind of read, the Message just has such great ways of putting things sometimes. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by an inch? You know, and I just love it. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, you know. You know, and the things that he describes in this paragraph are basic needs: food, drink, clothing. And most people think if there's anything you should worry about, it's those things, you know. But Jesus says in verse 32, that's what the Gentiles, that's what the nations, that's what the people who don't know God worry about. Don't you know that God's going to take care? If God cares about the birds and the grass, do you think he really doesn't care about you?
Yeah, that's amazing when you think about it, right? We're created in the image of God. You know, Christ died for us. How much more does he care about us? Yet he cares so much and understands when one bird falls.
Yeah.
I mean, another place where the hairs on your head are numbered.
That's about, you know, 52.
Well, it's easy with me.
You know?
but to understand it, and when you really grasp that God actually cares about you as an individual, you know, not as a whole, everyone as a whole, but you as an individual, it really changes how you approach everyday life.
It really does.
You know, I grew up just after the Depression. And we moved into the backwood mountains in Arkansas. No electricity, no running water, and without all those things. And we did very well. We grew our own crops, of course, and so on and so forth. But we did without a lot of things, and I may have had two shirts, two pair of pants, you know, didn't have a lot of clothes. And at night, I'd hang my pants on a nail, and in the morning when I got up, I put them back on. And I remember Mama in the wintertime, she would go out and heat water in a tub out in the outside. We'd build up a fire, and she would scrub with her hands and scrub them. And rinse them out, and then I'd help her hang them on the clothesline. So we did without a whole lot, but you know what? We always had enough. We always had enough. Now, if I go to my closet right now, it's so full. I really, I have a hard time finding a shirt, and I've got 20 shirts hanging there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny how the more you have, the less you have?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I might have one shirt that I wear almost every day. Well, I wash it once in a while. And I may have a shirt that I never wear.
Yeah.
But it's we put too much emphasis on it.
Yeah. Same thing. I have a closet with 50 shirts, and I wear like four of them, like you said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just there. They're great shirts. But I guarantee you, if we pared things down, that we would not be any less happy, or we'd probably be happier if we pared it. I'm not saying that someone has to, but if you lost, a few things and you lost your job and you had to get rid of cable and this, that, I think we could really pare down and our lives would not be, they would end up being better in certain ways.
All right,
ways.
You quit preaching and you started meddling again. We're not good at simple. We complicate and we want more and we want extras. This is how bad I am. I found shoes I liked a few years ago. I bought them. I wore them out. I bought another pair, wore them out. Next time I went, they had two more pair in stock, so I bought both of them so I could have them in the closet for when they were,
Just how the mind works, Never know when I might need these.
That's right. Then you find something in your closet that has a tag on it, for how long ago, and you've just wasted money that you could have used to help somebody, or you could have just not wasted, you could have used for something you could actually use. That could have gone in the motorcycle account. But
the Lord makes it so proud. He said, in another passage, he said, if a sparrow falls, and I'm paraphrasing it, but if a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows it, he sees it, and the hair on our head is numbered. So he does care about us, and if we trust him, and I could share some experiences that I just don't have time to today, but how the Lord has just blessed me when I was really trying to walk with him.
Yeah, I think we all have stories.
Yeah.
I'll just give a quick one. We were having a little trouble with our mortgage just a couple of years ago when everything kind of bottomed out. And we went to the mortgage company, and they were working, how the new laws came out where the government would help you and so on and so forth. Well, we got information, and they said, listen, stop paying your mortgage, and, at a certain point, we'll lower your rate and all these other things. So we went like 6-7 months, and then the mortgage company said they gave you the wrong advice. And we didn't pay our mortgage for 6 months. Oh, so we're 6 months behind. They're like, you have to come up like 12 grand or, because it was further along even.
Right.
Or that's it. You're done. Yeah. And we prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it. And then shortly thereafter, they forgave we didn't pay mortgage for a year. And they forgave it, put it to the back, and started over. Now, mortgage companies don't do that. I won't name it, but it's one that people always have trouble with and they're not very kind. And yet they did it. I believe it was of the Lord, working in their hearts to do that because there was no reason for them to do it. So I think we all have things where we know the Lord's intercede in our lives and helped us with when we were in times of need financially or whatever the situation is.
What I love about this passage, for one, it flows in the context beautifully. You can't serve two masters. You either trust God or you trust stuff. So what are you going to trust? Psalm 20, verse 7, maybe. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what sets us up. But then he says in verse 25, I tell you, don't be anxious. Verse 27, which of you, by being anxious, can do anything about it? You keep going. Verse 31, don't be anxious. Keep reading. Verse 34, don't be anxious. Now, that's what, four times? I can't count. I'm a preacher. But how many times does Jesus have to say it in this paragraph? And there's not a whole lot of places where Jesus is this repetitive.
Yeah.
Do you think that kind of points to the fact that we need some help with this passage?
It's about being, don't be anxious.
I'm sure there's been times, and I know in my life there was. When I got out of the service, I had quite a bit of rank and several years service, so I was doing very well. And when I got out and went to work in the factory, my income was cut by more than half. So it was tough to adjust. But what I'm saying with that is there are times when we are anxious about what are we going to do? It was very difficult. But, the Lord took care of us through all that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing, too, that I found through the years with my family, I've been saved for 25 years, so in that period, that when you give money to the Lord, when you tithe, and I'm not talking about, you know, faith seed and all that stuff. When you tithe and you're faithful, it seems as though your bills are paid more easily than if you keep that tithe money. So isn't that a weird, I don't know why, how it happens, but it always seems to work that way. When you're faithful to God, He then is faithful
to
you.
I've discovered that if I don't tithe, then I'm taking control of 100%.
Yeah.
But if I pay my tithe, then the Lord takes control of 90%, and He can do a whole lot more with it than I could with 100%.
Yeah, it's just a sidebar, but I find that to be true, and it gives you less anxiety.
I think some of our churches, I'm going to point the blame here at me, not at anyone else. We have overreacted to some of these prosperity gospel teachers so much that we're afraid of telling people there is a blessing in giving. Because we don't want to sound like those guys who say, give and this will happen, you know.
You have to clarify.
The first 10 people that sends me $1,000, you know.
You know, beware of people who tell you to give to God and insist you use their address.
Yeah.
You know. People need to get, and so sometimes when I preach, what I will say is, I want you to know that I believe this principle. So I'd like you to give to the church because I think that's one of the best places. But, all right, the devil's telling you that I've got a vested interest. I've got a conflict of interest. I don't get paid unless you give. So fine. Give to the help center. Give to CareNet.
Oh, yes.
Give to the jail chapel. Give to Howard's church if you think that I've got a dog in this fight.
Right.
And find out that it's not just
Rhetoric.
It starts with the church.
It does. I think you need to.
Yeah.
Now, again, I can't be legalistic, and I don't think that... You know, in some sense, I don't even think a tithe is demanded, you know, a specific percentage. But it seems like if people are grateful to that level in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it seems like a good thing to keep doing to me.
At least 10%. At the bare minimum.
It's a matter of trust in the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
Mm. And also, if you don't go to church, whatever ministry is feeding you, right? If some people can't get out, they don't go to local churches, and my address is...
Well, you know, shut-ins, that's a good question for shut-ins. Mm. If you have come to Christ and you don't have a relationship with the church, I don't think there's anything wrong with picking one or picking the organization that mails you good DVDs.
Because they have a good role. They have a role in your life if you can't get out.
Absolutely. You know? Well, let's talk a little bit more about the practicality of giving and not worrying, maybe after the break.
Yeah, sounds good. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable. We are in Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 25 through 34, and we are going to look at, you know, the main point that Jesus is making throughout this is don't be anxious.
Yeah, don't be anxious. And one of the best ways to not be anxious is to hand over control. Mm. And one of the best things you can hand over control of is the pocketbook. And I'll be honest, I don't like preaching about money. I don't, which is unfortunate because Jesus does a lot. Because I think there's that reputation that preachers have their hands out all the time, and there's been so many that have misused people's money, and there's so many different opinions about what you should make or shouldn't make. And there was this crazy guy on TV a few months ago who was fundraising his $67 million jet. You remember that story? Mm-hmm. And you know, I told Burns I'd be happy with a $20 million jet. They just laughed at me. I don't understand.
Or a $100,000 car.
You know? Okay, fine, a $20,000 car.
Exactly.
Fine, a $5,000 motorcycle. Final offer, you know. You know, money really sometimes brings out the worst in people.
Well, some of the TV ministers especially and others Paul warned about being greedy, a filthy lucre.
Yeah.
And when we see this in a church or a ministry, it really turns us off.
It does.
But, you know, there is a legitimate need for money in the church. There are things need to be taken care of, but the church then are stewards also of what they receive. And they do need to help the poor. They do need to do these things. But if they've only got enough to turn the lights on, then turn the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, I've known of situations where someone has died and left their inheritance, and it's basically used for new carpet and curtains.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee, you know, listen, if that's what you need to do, I'm not criticizing you, but I guarantee that person that died did not give it to you for those type of things.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be some
I'd like balance. To see us. I saw something I hadn't seen before. I spoke at a vacation Bible school last night, and they did something I really liked. You know, usually at a VBS, there's a big emphasis on the number of people, and they did that. You know, if we beat our record, we'll have somebody gets a pie in the face, you know, that sort of stuff. But they had two other things they measured. They invited the kids to bring toys and food items to share with those in need. And I thought, how cool. That way it's not just about how many people you got in the door. It's about what they did and brought.
And they'll remember that.
Yeah.
You know, at such a young age.
I thought that was a really, because especially with the kids, you know, I like to see that.
To get a child to give up their toy, that's their treasure.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if they bought toys or what they did, but still.
That's a great principle. To start that at such a young age, that giving is normal.
You know, they
that's
had 300-something food items and 300-something toys. They had, you know, the big thermometer-type things on each side of the room where they were trying to keep track with the number. But I thought that was...
I've never heard that before.
That was good. My friend James, you know, James has been on the show a few times, James Hinkle. He's an elder.
Yes, sure. Yes.
He taught me something several years ago that I've just really liked. He said, the devil will always tempt you not to give. And he said, we spend too much time on the defensive, running away from the devil. He said, sometimes I like to stick it to the devil. Yeah. So if the devil tells me not to give, I double what I was planning on giving. Mm. And oddly enough, he shuts his mouth for a while. You know, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I went to a Chinese restaurant out of town last night. And they had the Mongolian grill, you know, where they'll cook up your food for you.
Yeah.
And I was with a really good friend. And you know how they have the tip jar?
Yeah.
My friend reached into his pocket and grabbed a bill. And as he realized he was dropping it in, it wasn't a one, it was a five. And at the moment he dropped it down, the man turned around so he didn't see that he put the money in the jar. And I was funny. In my head, I was having this conversation because we've been reading the Sermon on the Mount. I'm like, man, that stinks. He gave more than he meant to, and he didn't get credit for it. Because you know what I mean? You go to the restaurant, you kind of want the guy to know you tipped.
Yeah, yeah.
But then these words from Matthew 6 just hit me. Like, when you give, don't blow a trumpet. Lay up treasure in heaven. And so I was having this conversation with myself, and just in my head. And my friend looked at me and goes, should I feel guilty about the fact that and he was thinking the exact same. He's a minister. He's a brother.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how this plays itself out in a small stage and in a big stage.
And how many times we have the normal physical response of being, oh man, he didn't even see it.
Yeah.
It's not even that you mean anything bad by it. It's just the natural reaction.
What made it worse is our listeners, I'm sure, know that we record these shows in advance. So we had literally finished recording our show about Matthew 6 2 hours prior to this happening. You know, I'm such a slow learner.
Yeah. Which shows there's so many principles that we don't apply.
Oh,
we know them, and yet, you know, if we didn't just do it without it popped into your head.
Yeah, probably, you know, not. I mean? Probably
it's
not.
It's just one of those things where there's so much truth that we know it, but do we actually put it into practice?
Yeah, it's one thing to know. It's another thing to do.
Mm.
And in Scripture, by the way, knowing and doing are connected.
Yeah.
If you really want to know, you need to do.
Mm.
And if you want to do, you need to know.
Yeah. I think that's so important, because the Greek thought is, you know, it's what you believe.
Yeah.
But Jewish thought is what you believe and what you do
with
that belief, which I think is what the Bible is, not so much Greek thought as it is, you know, Jewish thought, especially Jesus. And in the Jewish mindset, doing is more important than what you believe, even.
You know, I saw this little thing. It's kind of sarcastic and pointed at Christianity on Facebook. And it showed a kid said, I prayed for a bike and didn't get one. So I stole it and prayed for forgiveness because I knew I could get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we try to play these little games with God.
Sure.
But he's interested in what and why.
Yeah.
So this paragraph ends in 32 with, don't forget your father knows that you need them. And then the instruction, I think the meat of the paragraph is verse 33.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking at the beginning of this. If we have things that have happened in our life, and when we really seek first the kingdom of God, really, in Psalms it says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So when we're truly seeking to walk with the Lord, please the Lord, then we have difficulties in life. We know he's there.
Yeah.
We know he's there. So that's an awesome thing.
And I look at it as, you know, pursue the biblical spiritual things, and the Lord will take care of the physical needs. And yet we spend 99% on the physical needs and 1% on spiritual understanding and doing.
You're exactly right.
You know, that's the way our society's set up. You have to work, right? And if you work, I'm fortunate where I work, where I can study the majority of the time that I'm there. But a lot of people don't have that option. So there's a certain amount of the day where you can't really, you know, you have to work, you have to do what you have to do.
And yet the Bible's even for that. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, Scripture says. But
it's got to be a balance.
Yeah. You know, how do you keep your soul and participate in life? We talk a lot about your work-life balance. You know, you spend too much time at work versus your family. But we need to think about our faith-life balance isn't the right word, but integration.
Right.
You know.
Right. And we even have more than work nowadays, right? It used to be you had TV, three stations.
Yeah.
Now you have the computer. You have so many distractions. And it's so easy to get lulled into doing things that you might be learning something, but you're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's Facebook, and you're answering people's, you know, posts and trying to set them straight what the Bible says. You know, you're not actually really doing anything.
No.
Because no one cares what you have to say.
And, you know, we waste so much of our lives on just stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
And that verse is pretty clear, you know. Seek the things of God's kingdom.
Yes.
You know, and then God will take care of your daily needs. He'll make sure that you have the basics of life. And I think a lot of us, because of the culture we live in, are going to be shocked when we stand before the Lord. And I'm just speaking personally of all the time I've wasted not seeking the kingdom of God, seeking my own,
oh my goodness,
my own hobbies, my own desires.
Take a different path there, brother.
Yeah. Right? We all, it's just amazing. It's like, come on, you have 75 years to live. And when you're done with it, 80 years, I should say.
Yeah. I've already passed it.
So you have
Howard started looking nervous.
You have 95 years of life.
I had forgot, man.
Well, Howard looks like you're dead. You know?
You have 95 years of life, Howard.
Yeah.
But when it's over, James says it's a wisp, right?
Yeah.
The amount of time we spend on the things of the Lord, we're going to be shocked because when that's all you have is one life, right?
Just keep digging on this Howard thing. I haven't enjoyed that too much.
So you have one life, you know? And when you get to the end of it, you don't say, oh, I wish I would have looked at Facebook more. No. I wish I would have rode my motorcycle more.
Hey.
Played golf more. You're going to say, what in the world was I thinking? Why didn't I spend every minute seeking the kingdom of God, you know?
Have you seen the poem, Only One life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last? And you know, that's based right out of this text. Lay up treasures, seek first the kingdom. That's what's
there's another benefit to this. You have a happier life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you don't have to walk around with a frown, or you know, and
a peaceful life. Right? You don't have anxiety.
Exactly.
You know, there's nothing worse than anxiety for me. I don't like being anxious. I try to avoid it at all costs, but it just seems to keep happening. Our country is medicated because of anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? The amount of people on Xanax and different drugs because they can't stop being anxious.
And I know there are some, I don't want to make light of real psychiatric issues, but there are a large number of cases where it's just inability to cope, you know, because their priorities are on the wrong things. And again, I know that we need to be careful with this conversation, I think. But look how many people self-medicate.
Right. That was my point more than people that actually need it.
Yeah. The number of drunks, the number of drug addicts, the number of porn addicts, the number of food addicts, the number of Facebook addicts, the number of whatever. You know, and that is based on trying to find connection, meaning, satisfaction.
And for the believer, it shouldn't be that way.
Exactly.
That's the key, right? That's what we're focused on. If you
seek
know the Lord,
first the kingdom.
I don't know if this applies to what we're saying or not, but
wouldn't stop us either way.
But reading the Word is so important.
It is.
And ever since, especially since I surrendered to the ministry, I try to read my Bible every day. So 9 years ago, I believe it was, that I set up this schedule where I read the Bible through every year, so every day I have a passage to read. And one of the amazing things about that is I didn't plan to be in this today. It's just where I am.
Yeah.
But how many times have I read something in my daily reading that applied directly to something that I was faced with?
Man.
And I look at that and I think, and I said, Lord, you knew. You knew what I needed today. And I find so much comfort in the Word. So if I find comfort in God's Word and tried to do what it says, to live by it, then I don't have the worries and the anxiety like I did before. So.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I love about planned preaching and preaching through a book, because it's not me picking on you if we run, you know.
Exactly.
It would be obvious if I skipped Matthew 19.
Yeah.
But when I preached Matthew 1 through 18 before it and 20 through 28 after
it's not personal.
You know, it's kind of like this is what's here. So,
exactly.
You know, God has a marvelous way of speaking to us through His Word. And, you know, I know we all kind of wish and hope for more. You know, we want that voice from the heavens to go booming. And I know we've had different experiences even, but I think sometimes we neglect just how powerful His Word is.
I think the Lord gave me this one day just to show me how important it is to read the Bible every day. And I suppose y'all are familiar with the Jabez Prayer, the book.
Yeah.
So this is several years old, back in the 90s. And I was walking through, I believe it's Walmart one day, and I saw this man's shirt on the back. It said Jabez Prayer. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm going to go home and look that up. Well, at that time, I was doing my reading in the evening. Now I do it in the morning, but nevertheless. So I went home that evening, and I couldn't remember where it was. It's Second Chronicles, but I couldn't, it just didn't come to mind. So I did my daily reading. Guess where it was? Jabez Prayer. And it was kind of like the Lord had pointed to me that day. That's where you're going to be reading tonight.
How cool.
It just, maybe others don't see that, but I do.
I think the Lord does that to show that, you know what, I've got it.
Yeah.
I know where you are. I think we've all had experiences.
I've heard somebody say coincidences when God keeps His anonymity.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But the first step of seeking the kingdom is to understand the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? So you start it with the Word of
knowledge
God.
Knowledge is so important.
Yeah, if you don't read and try your best to understand it.
Knowledge understanding.
Right.
So it's one thing to know what it says, but then to understand what it says.
So that's the first step, you know. Go to church.
Yeah.
And read your Bible.
You need the community.
Yeah. It's all part of it.
You know, we were talking recently in a class and somebody was saying they ran into somebody who couldn't stand organized religion. And, you know, that's so common.
Today.
But there's something important about being with other believers.
It is.
For accountability, for encouragement, you know, for
it's
every
a check
area.
And balance. It's insurance. It keeps you from,
you don't show up for a while.
Yeah.
You know, people know.
Come Where you been, Richie?
You.
Where you been?
Yeah, you need that as a believer. I think, where were we? I don't know if it was you saying this about, you know, we're the body.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever our talents are, whatever reason we're where we are, you know, God has a use for us.
Yeah, it wasn't me who said that. It was Spirit through Paul.
Yeah.
Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12.
Exactly.
You know, the body has many members. Paul even says some are unpresentable, which if you pay attention, that's kind of funny, you know, but it's still part of the body. So seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Everything else, it'll be all right.
The Lord will take care of it. Yeah. Don't be anxious. All right. This is a cool lesson. We're having fun here.
Yeah.
In the Sermon of the Mount, and we have more to go. That's
I was just looking, you know, we're doing a 52-week study of the life of Christ if you're a new listener. But this is week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the 6th week we've spent in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think we've got at least 2 more would be my guess before we resume studying the other sermons of Jesus.
Right.
So in the book of Matthew, there's 5. So this is just 1 out of 5. So who knows how long it's going to take us?
104-week study through
That's
the
right.
gospel, which is great.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
So I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be on next week at 4:00. And we look forward to you being there. And please, you know, send us an email. Check out JesusRoundtable.com. Let us know you're listening, and we really appreciate it. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week at 4:00.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One, or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.